Amen. Thank God for another worship experience, and thank God for another first Sunday as we now are partaking of our Lord's Supper. We're reading the scriptures from the screen, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 30, and this is the paraphrased version of the Bible. For this is what the Lord himself has said about his table, and I pass it on to you before, that on the night when Judas betrayed him, the Lord Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks to God for it, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take this and eat it. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new agreement between God and you that has been established and set in motion by my blood. Do this in remembrance of me whenever you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are retelling the message of the Lord's death, that he has died for you. Do this until he comes again." So if anyone eats this bread and drinks from this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, he is guilty of sin against the body and blood of the Lord. That is why a man should examine himself carefully before eating the bread and drinking from the cup. For if he eats the bread and drinks from the cup unworthily, not thinking about the body of Christ and what it means, he is eating and drinking God's judgment upon himself, for he is trifling with the death of Christ. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and some have even died. Let us pray. Master, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for grace. We thank you, O God, for forgiveness. As we now look back at the day when you gave your life on the cross, you gave your hands, you gave your side, you gave your head, you gave yourself, you gave your back, you gave your feet, you gave your very being, because you so loved the world that you gave your only you was God's only son for as a sacrifice for our sins. And so we say thank you. Purge us and have mercy upon us, Lord, for we know we have not been we are not perfect beings, so we ask for mercy. We thank you, and we claim every victory that comes through communion, every healing. We thank you for spiritual, physical, and all the healing that it may bring to us. And we praise you, for we know that it was your body that was given for our sins. And we thank you right now. Forgive us and have mercy upon us as we respect and recognize and remember this sacrificial, you being our sacrificial lamb. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. So at this time we are going to partake of our communion. He took the bread, and the Bible says after he had given thanks, he said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is a new testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it. Do it in remembrance of me." We say hallelujah to the Lamb and thank God for Jesus, for what he has done for us. And we praise the Lord for all his many blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. We're looking at Romans, the first chapter, and verse number 32. And we're looking at the last part of the last verse of that chapter. It says, "Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So we are talking about enjoying this obedience. Obedience is something we should enjoy, but we're talking about enjoying disobedience. Man is not better than God by no means.
He's uncorrupt, and man is corrupt. Corruption in office. And it says, they knowing the judgment of God in verse 32, and knowing that they that commit such things are worthy of death. Amen. Not only do the same, but what they do is they have pleasure in them that do them. Not only do the same, but they have pleasure in them that do them. In other words, they're enjoying disobedience. And so as we think about that, we see the enjoyment of pleasure. Amen. Amen. We know that pleasure is something that is enjoyable. You begin to look at the scripture, we find out that, amen, Moses let us know in Hebrews 11:25, it tells us that Moses chose rather to suffer afflictions with the people of God, amen, than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Amen. There's pleasure in sin. But just because it's pleasurable does not mean it's permissible. There's pleasure in sin. Well, what does God have to say about it? God says, I have no pleasure in wickedness. Psalms 5:4. I have no pleasure in wickedness. And he says that anyone who tries to live in pleasure is only going to bring death. 1 Timothy 5:6, God says about the unmarried woman, the widow, he says, she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she lives. Think about that. She that liveth in pleasure is dead while she lives. But understand that it's not you sinning sometimes that sends us to hell, or the writer seemed to be concerned about those who make a lifestyle of sin. Amen. It's not that we can't or we won't sin, but it's when we embrace sin and make a lifestyle out of it. Amen. And that happens. We can't say that we won't ever sin, but the problem is not when we sin. The problem is when we say that God said it's okay. That's where the problem is. But it's not sin, but sinning that creates the problem in a lifestyle. The Bible tells us, it says that knowing they that commit such things in this verse, and it says they not only do them, but they have pleasure in those that do them. That word do, D-O, and that word commit, C-O-M-M-I-T, are the same words in the Greek language, and it means to practice. It means to practice sin. It means that it says that they that do such things, according to Galatians 5:21, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That list of sins in Galatians, and this list, if they do or commit these things, they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Not that if they fall down and get back up and go in the right direction. Amen. Amen. We all will fall, amen, from time to time for various reasons. Amen. It may be ignorance. It may be immaturity, or it may be incontingency. According to 1 Corinthians 7:5, the Bible tells us that Satan himself gets involved when you are not sexually satisfied in human sexuality that's proper at the proper time with the right one. The Bible says Satan can make you lose control. But it's the practicing of sin. It's habitual, repeated, ongoing, a lifestyle of sin, and saying that it's okay. That is what God is against. So yes, there is pleasure in sin, but we need to understand that it's not that you commit a sin, but when you practice sin, that it becomes under the judgment of God. But let's look at embarrassment. We see that he says that not only do the same, but they take pleasure in them that do them. Embarrassment. You see, the truth is that our sin ought to embarrass us. Amen. We know we serve a holy God, and we have a nature. All born-again people have a nature that makes them want to please God and repudiate anything that is against God. But we can't take pride in our sin. Amen. We have a lot of people who are in sin and they are proud about it. That's not God's will. We can't take pride in these sins that God just spoke about. We cannot enjoy disobedience. Amen. He says that you see, what we got to understand is that God says that we commit sin. Amen. Or we commit an act, but we are not boastful about it. Amen. Some people say, well, I just don't want to be a hypocrite about it. If I'm going to be this way, then I'm just going to be this way out in public. No, there's a great deal of respect to those persons who are trying to hide their sin. They're trying to hide it for a reason. Yes, I understand not being a hypocrite, but for those who fall and hate they fail, that's a good sign. And they're trying to hide it, that's a good sign. Because you know that it is wrong. And so you're convicted by it. And so therefore you want to quit it. And so God says you should want to hide your sin and take it to the Lord in prayer and pray about it and let him deliver. But we don't want to come out of the closet with all of our mistakes and all of our sins. And just because we're sinning, we just want to just let everybody know, well, we all sinners. Everybody know we all sinners. But that's not what God wants us to do. Adam and Eve, and I mentioned it earlier, Adam and Eve in Genesis 3 and verse 10, we find out that Adam and Eve, they sinned. But what do we find out about Adam and Eve? What we find out is that Adam and Eve says, notice what they said. They said, I heard thy voice, okay, in the garden, and I knew, I heard your voice walking in the garden, and I knew that I was naked. And he says, I hid myself. Amen. Adam and Eve did not let God come when they heard the voice of God coming in the garden and then just, amen, sit up there with the fruit and say, here, Lord, you want some of it? No, they didn't. They were embarrassed about their sin. And we ought to be embarrassed about our sin. Christians are those who run from sin, not to sin. They were embarrassed about their sin, and they didn't want God to see them. And something about sinning that's always associated with human sexuality. And the first thing they noticed, they were nude. They didn't notice that, well, I started having bad thoughts, or I started lying, or I went and got a beer, Lord. No, the first thing they noticed was that I'm naked. You've been naked all the time. But it's something about idolatry that make you want to. It's connected with human sexuality. And we ought to want to hide it. Amen. Confess it and get out of it. But we don't run to sin after you get saved. We run from sin because we know that it's not something that I'm proud of. Amen. Have you done something that you're not proud of? Amen. God is aware of it. But I run from my sin. I don't run to sin. That is what God, that's the way now that God has us wired. We ought to be embarrassed now about our sins. Amen. Lest I hold you too long. We think about the enjoyment. We think about the embarrassment. Amen. But we want to think about the endorsement. Amen. Amen. The endorsement. God wants us to understand that he wants us, when I think about the endorsement of our sins, amen, it is, God does not call us to, he does not want us to agree with our sins. One version says that not only do they do the same, they not only do the same, but notice they have pleasure in them that do them. They have pleasure in them that do them. To take pleasure in it. In other words, one version says they applauded it.
Amen.
They, in other words, they endorsed the sin. Anytime you say, "Oh, it's okay," there's nothing wrong with it. Then you're applauding it. You are approving it. Amen. We never want to approve our sins. We want to wrestle with our sins. We will fight and struggle with our sins. Amen. But with God's help, according to 1 Corinthians 10:13, there is no temptation that has taken us by which God won't make a way that is common to man. But God will make a way for an escape. That's what Joseph did. Joseph ran from Potiphar's wife. He ran. It's not always easy. Run. Amen. You may fall. Amen. Amen. But run like Forrest Gump. Run, Forrest, run. My buddy Gary used to say, amen, run. That's, amen. You got to run. There's nothing, something biblical about running. He ran out of the house. Amen. Sometimes you may fall, but just get up. And remember that sin is like quicksand. Well, the fact of the matter is that God does not want us to endorse our sins. Amen. We cannot applaud our sins. Amen. We cannot endorse our sins. He said, they not only do the same, but they have pleasure in them that do them. In other words, they're doing it and they're applauding others who do it. And what that does is that promotes Satan's program. That promotes Satan's agenda. That doesn't help God's program at all. God is against sin. And if you're promoting it, if you're supporting it, if you're loving it, if you are endorsing it, then that's not what God wants us to do. God wants us not to endorse. He does not want us to endorse sin. Amen. We know what an endorsement does. Endorsements do. Amen. That's what got us a Democratic, those in the Democratic Party, a nominee is because of an endorsement of someone in the Senate, and it seemed like it pushed them over the top. And why did they do that? It was an endorsement. When you endorse something, then you are enhancing, you are promoting Satan's agenda. Amen. Amen. And God does not want us to be silent. He wants us allow him to his will to go forward. Amen. Because that's really what happened. Amen. God's will came in conflict with man's want, and they kicked God out of office. Amen. When they said that we're not going to follow God, we're not going to serve God because this is what we want to do, man's want came in conflict with God, with God's will. And when it happened, they rejected nature and kicked God out of office. And the Bible makes it plain that this is not something that he wants us to do. God says, don't ever endorse wickedness. Ever. He tells us, as you look, amen, in Proverbs 24:24, it tells us that it says that don't ever call wickedness righteousness. Amen. Don't ever do that. Proverbs 24:24. Don't ever make wickedness right. Don't ever endorse wickedness. Amen. And you sometimes can do it by silence. Your silence can be an endorsement. When you don't do nothing, you become as guilty as anybody else. That's what we find when you, Paul, I think about Paul, and he says that in Acts 22:20, I believe it is, Acts 22:20, he says that when Stephen, the first deacon, was martyred, the Bible says that when Stephen, the first deacon, was martyred, we find that Saul says that I, when they slew the first deacon, I was there holding the coat, and I watched his blood spill out on the ground. And I did nothing but hold the coat. I saw Stephen. I saw his blood. When he died in his blood, Paul said, I saw it when he was, and as he was giving his testimony before these Jews, he says, when thy servant Stephen was stoned, amen, I was there consenting to his death. And so it was like I was endorsing their disobedience. The Bible said you should murder. We looked at it in the list. I think it's in verse 29. He talks about we should not murder, and it was wrong to murder, and never call wickedness righteousness. And I was there. I saw it. And Stephen was being stoned. What did I do? I did nothing. I was in silence. Matter of fact, all I did was hold the coat of them that stoned Stephen. And Paul says that God delivered me from that, because in doing so, I was endorsing what somebody else was doing. Although it was not me who was doing it, but to hold the coat. And a lot of people sit back and watch things happen. They let things happen. They see things, turn a deaf ear, they turn a blind eye. They look the other way, and they say, well, there's something they're doing, not anything I'm doing. But no. When man's won't come in conflict with God's will, we have a duty as Christians to speak up. What are we speaking up for? We're speaking up for right and not wrong. But that's what happened. When they didn't want to retain God in their knowledge, they kicked God out of the throne. They kicked right off the throne, and they put wrong on the throne. And through the instrumentality of idolatry, they enthroned man. So man now takes God's place. And his humanistic appetite and behavior runs amok throughout the whole world. and it is dangerous and it is damaging. Well, for the third time, fourth sign of a good Baptist preacher, so they're going to stop, they're going to close. I'm going to try to do it after this. The thing is that we see the enjoyment. We see the embarrassment. We see the endorsement. And we have to ask ourselves, what am I endorsing as a Christian? Well, the fact of the matter is we often get to the point to where we know things are wrong, but we do it anyway. And not only that, do they do the same, but they have pleasure in it. We enjoy doing wrong. We enjoy doing wrong. Satan gets on the throne in God's place, and man, through Satan's help, man gets on the throne and denies all of this creation, and we now are in charge. The creature is in charge instead of the creator being in charge. But it happens, don't it? We enjoy disobedience. Sometimes I think about the fact we go to church, we worship the Lord. Sometimes people enjoy, amen, missing church. They enjoy being out of church. Didn't God say go to church? Doesn't he write the rules? Hebrews 10:25, forsake not. Yes, but I enjoy missing church. All them hypocrites down there. Amen. One more won't hurt, because no one is perfect. But we're not there. We're there to worship God. Why should God suffer and not get the praise that's due to his name? Revelation 4:11. Why shouldn't he get that praise? But we brag about talking about others, and sometimes people, amen, they ask about the gossip, amen. What's the latest? What's going on? What's happening? Amen. God says that we ought to want to put out fires, not start fires, not be whisperers. That's on the list. Gossips. Oh, there's so many things on the list. But the truth is that some people, they enjoy missing church. Amen. They enjoy not worshiping the Lord. They enjoy not working for the Lord. They enjoy not serving in the church. They busy doing their own thing. God's church is falling down. God's church can be suffering. God's church can have openings. God's church can need this or need that. And we're supposed to be his servants. Amen. We're supposed to be working for him. But then we can enjoy not doing the will of God. Some people enjoy not walking in God's will. I'm having fun sinning. I'm having fun doing my own thing. We enjoy not worshiping. We enjoy not working. Amen. We enjoy not being in the will of God. Amen. We enjoy not reading our Bible. The Bible says you ought to read the Word. Whether you're talking about worship, or whether you're talking about work, or whether you're talking about the Word, or whether you're talking about his will, we enjoy that. Some people enjoy doing, another W is wrong. We enjoy doing wrong. We enjoy disobedience. I'm thinking about Saul when he was out there. God let him be the first king of Israel, and we find out in 1 Samuel 15:20, that we find out Saul, King Saul, was God told him to destroy the Amalekites, to destroy everything that the Amalekites owned, destroy the Amalekites. Clear message. He went and he disobeyed God, and he decided that you know, because some folk, if you give them an inch, they'll take a mile. God told him what to do, but he got out there and decided he did partially of what God wanted him to do, but he didn't do all of what God wanted him to do. God, amen, Are you serving the Lord and then you just serving him the way you want to? You're serving him like you want to? You're serving him just enough to get by? You're not really serving him 100%. And not only that, you're not really doing what he said 100%. You may not love all the saints. You may not like all the sinners. Amen. You may tolerate them a little bit, but you don't love them. Amen. And you're enjoying it. Well, the fact of the matter is, you may not be doing that. That's good. But God told Saul, he said that it is better to obey than to sacrifice. 1 Samuel 15:22. It is better to obey than to sacrifice. God is looking for persons who will obey him and not enjoy disobedience. I think as I close again about, I think about Saul was a Christian killer. Saul said, you know, he says that in Acts 20 and 22, I'm sorry, 22 and 19, he says, I beat the saints. I beat believers. And I had on my religious robe and I hunted down Christians and I found them in their meetings and I drug them out. And I beat them and I killed them and I stoned them. I had on my religious hat. Amen. I enjoyed killing these saints. But he saw a light from heaven. It says, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And the thing we don't understand is that when we persecute the saints, we are persecuting the Savior. God said, leave my Christians alone. Stop talking about my Christians. Stop hurting my Christians. Stop doing my Christians wrong. But some people enjoy, they don't got comfortable in their dysfunction. They don't got comfortable in lying on people. They don't got comfortable in not working in the church. They don't got comfortable in not doing their part. They don't got comfortable. The Bible says as we close that you need to examine yourself. That's what that word said. It says, examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. Lest you be, that word again, reprobate. It's mentioned in verse 28, reprobate. It's also mentioned in 2 Corinthians 13:5. It says, in plain terms, examine yourself. Examine yourself. Take an exam. Why? To see if you're in the faith. For you might be reprobate. Examine yourself. You say you're a Christian. Then the test, do you love pass the test? Do you love everybody? You say you got the Spirit in you. You say Christ is in you. Do you love everybody? Do you do everybody? Do you do your part? Christians ought to take us an exam every now and then. We do it physically. We take an annual every physical. Christians ought to examine themselves. Don't get the idea that you may be doing everything right and doing what you ought to. Every now and then, you ought to, what the Bible says, you ought to examine yourself. Do a self-examination. It won't cost you nothing. Amen. Amen. You ain't got to pay nothing. Do it yourself. The Bible says, examine yourself. We as Christians ought to examine our lives as Christians. And because we may be reprobate, that means that we're unapproved. That means that we are worthless. That means that we are useless. That means that we fail the test if we are disobedient. But if you want to pass the test, then you have to be obedient. That's what that requires. Jesus was obedient, was he not? Did the battle get rough? Yes. Did the hills get hard to climb? Yes. But yes, Jesus went to the cross. And Father, I thank you for going to the cross for my sins. And perhaps there's somebody listening that feel they need to have an examination. And as your Spirit searches their heart, as they go to you in prayer, oh God, I pray that you would bring deliverance. We never meant to kick right off the throne and put wrong in charge. Oh God, have mercy upon me, upon us. Help us, oh God, whatever the struggle may be. And we pray now, Lord, that you would draw us to Jesus. Draw us to Jesus as our hearts are bowed. Amen. And if we are sincere, if we look inside, we can ask ourselves, was there ever a time that I accepted Jesus that I can remember, that I know of? If I don't remember accepting Jesus, then what I need to do is to follow what the Spirit is saying. He says that I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. Oh God, so I open up my heart and I ask you to draw me to Jesus. Help me to make the decision. Because if I make the wrong choice, I'll have to live with the results of that choice. And we know that it can be eternally devastating. So save me, Lord. Forgive me. Have mercy upon me. I praise you. I glorify you. Hallelujah. Help me to live a life that is pleasing according to your will. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. I believe you died and rose, and you're coming back again. And when you get back, I want to be ready. And I want to hear your voice say, well done. Well done. Now, good and faithful servant. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Let us now receive the benediction. Amen. May the Lord bless thee. May the Lord keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift his countenance upon thee and give you his peace. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen.